The views and opinions expressed by the hosts of Black Talk Radio News and any guests represents their views and their views only and do not necessarily represent the views of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network. To follow, but we are joined again by one of our guests today, Mr. Bernard Creamer. And again, he's here to represent Clear the Airways Project as well as National Black Leadership Alliance. We're talking about culture as a weapon and how it is used to program bad behavior into unsuspecting minds and vulnerable minds. So, Mr. Creamer, do we have you on the line, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning to you.
Good afternoon to you, sir. It's probably morning where you are, but it's afternoon for us. So good day to you, Mr. Creamer. All right. So
I gave
a little background about your work with Clear the Airways Project and the National Black Alliance, National Black Leadership Alliance. So is there anything else that you would like to share about your background and why you are attracted to this movement to get these killer radio stations out of our communities?
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Real quick, I've been in education for 20 years. I've also done some social work where I worked in group homes, and I worked as a case manager. So pretty much my entire career has been, you know, with youth. So I see the manifested behaviors, whatever it is feeding them, the institutions, the policies, the radio, the media, whatever it is, I see the manifestations, and I've been seeing them for 20-something years. To be real quick with it or whatever, and I guess part of the fuel that keeps me a part of this movement, I work in Dallas right now, Dallas, Texas. And I've seen it in other places. I've seen it in D.C. as an educator, and I've seen it in Chicago as well. But one thing in Chicago, I had a whole group of black males. And when you educate them in terms of what media is, what propaganda is, the history of media, how it's affected us historically since like the 1960s, 1920s, they get it. And they're angry and they want to stand up and they want to fight. Also, when you look at what the Greek, I guess you can call them Divine Nine, what the sororities did not too long ago, they understand what media does and how it can be a weapon used against you. I guess it was TV One when that show came out, Sorority Sisters, they got that off the air, I want to say in less than a year. It definitely wasn't more than 2 years because they saw it as disrespectful, subjugating them, it painted them in a bad light, and they didn't want to be represented that way.
You're talking about a reality show?
The reality show, the unreality show, yes.
Okay.
When you expand that lens to our children, it's the exact same effect. So I'm just kind of wondering when we all wake up and we decide to stand up for our kids versus just standing up for certain fragmentations of our group, of our entire community. Here in Dallas, I worked for a year in an alternative charter school. I've only been there for 2 years. And this is the first, I guess you can say the first setting where I taught, where I had Mexicans, black kids, and also white kids in the classroom. And one thing they all had in common was they all used the word nigger gratuitously. And so I spent a lot of time checking kids, and the white kids and the Mexicans use it more than the black kids. And so first question I've posed to them when correcting them is, when did you all become niggers, and why is it okay?
Well, let me stop you right there, because I just want some clarification, because I've read some other stories about white kids using the word. So they were using it towards each other, right? They weren't. Is that what you're telling me? That when you asked them, you know, when did y'all become niggas? Is that because they were calling each other, referring to themselves, the whites and the Mexicans, as niggas?
They refer to each other as, generally when I see them speaking, as whites talking to whites as niggas, Mexicans, and pardon my use of the word. I don't know if it's allowable on your station, but Mexicans calling each other the word and blacks calling each other the word. So generally when they look at each other, they're calling each other niggas.
Okay.
And so I've spent at least 2 days going through the history of how African-Americans, I'm a history teacher, so I've taught them basically how blacks came to call themselves niggas or define themselves as niggas, how Mexicans came to define themselves as niggas through hip-hop, and also with the white kids, the same thing. You know, they embrace hip-hop They probably spend more money on it. I'm pretty sure they spend more money on it than
they
we do.
The
statistics show that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So that's kind of where we are today. And the behaviors generally manifest that definition. You see the white kids walking around cussing, using the same, I don't even know if you want to call it, speech, but they try to identify with what they see a nigga as being. And it's not African-American or black, nothing to do with us, but it's just that what that everything that word encompasses, everything that word entails, and it generally entails ignorant behavior. So that's kind of why I'm passionate about it. I mean, I've been seeing it for too long. When Quabner presented it to me, we met at a meeting a while ago about addressing our culture. There was a lot of us at the table, and pretty much have been on fire since then. Then I had the opportunity with Quabner and another brother, Dwight, to visit a Clear Channel radio station a few years ago. And you see it right in your face. You meet right. The programmer, and the programmer's not budging. And they're giving you all of this false information and these graphs pretty much telling you that it's what we demand. And at no point in history did women, black women, decide as a collective that we're bitches and hoes and that we should be date raped and we should be the target of misogynistic behavior. And at no time in history did black men stand up and say, you know what, let's be niggas. That never happened.
Mm-hmm. Let's be drug dealers. Let's be misogynists. Let's be this. You know, let's be killers of other black people. Yeah, I follow you.
It's a war. It's part of the war, and it's not even. I'm not even gonna say it's a small piece because media is major. As Hitler knew.
Yes, it is.
When he used the exact same machinery against the Jew, he knew. So I can't even say media. Media is a part of the puzzle, and it's not a small part. It's a major part. And many of our ancestors have said it. If you attack the mind, you don't have to worry about the body does.
Right. Malcolm X said it best to me. Malcolm X is the one that inspired me to create the Black Talk Media Project when he talked in an interview mm-hmm. about how media can control a person's mind, how it can make you love one country, you know, one year, and then mm-hmm. the very next after the war, now they're your friend, and the ones that help you win the wars, now your enemies, and the media just flipped your mind like that. And he's called it the most powerful entity on the face of the planet.
Yep, and when you can convince young black men and young black mothers to send their kids to fight for a country that won't fight for them and never has fought for them, that's media.
Right.
You see a patriotic African-American or a black person, that is the direct result of media.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, I had a conversation with a former captain in the U.S. Army, as I was in the Army as well in my youth, and mm-hmm. and I asked him, why did you join the military? I joined for college money. I joined because of poverty and also wanting to get out the little town that now I love and don't want to leave. But as a teenager, you know, you always want to get out in the world and what have you. Yeah. And he said to me that Rambo movies is why he went into the Army. So there you go right there.
Yep, and if you turn on, I guess if you sit in a movie theater or whatever, and before the actual movie you went to go see, or if you just turn on the television during sports, everything is about the military. Red, white, and blue flashed across your screen probably more than a basketball or a football. Before the games, during halftime, during the commercials, it's red, white, and blue, it's fight, fight, fight. Independence Day movies, all of these movies with white heroes with guns in their hands and black boys with guns in their hands going to shoot other people, darker people usually.
Right. Now, I want to go
back.
The
Darth Vaders of the world.
I want to go back to something you said about people are getting it. Some people are getting it that you are crossing paths with and having this conversation and dialogue around the issue of this killer music mm-hmm. that is programming people. Now, I had an occasion a couple of years ago to speak to a South Carolina activist, and she's out there organizing not just against police violence and brutality, but also against violence in our community. And despite the mainstream narrative that people don't care about, black people don't care about the violence in their community, I mean, these Stop the Violence movements are almost as old as me, you know, 30, 40 years. I remember these various campaigns to stop the violence. But I said to her, you know, in that effort to stop the violence, have you considered the music that's being played on y'all local radio station. And so I explained the whole piece to her and even laid out some studies and scientific studies prove how media can influence the mind greatly. And but she told me, though, but freedom of speech, though, freedom of speech. And I was like, okay, what do you want, sister? Do you want to stop the violence or do you want to claim freedom of speech for these artists to put this vulgar, misogynistic killer music on the public airways? And a lot of times it's in violation of FCC licensing rules, even though the FCC ain't enforcing it. So she never did come up with an answer. What would you say to some activists like that when they say, well, what about First Amendment speech concerns?
Well, regards to freedom of speech has limitations, as all the amendments lay out. It's not just what it is. You have to read the details of freedom of speech. And the main detail of the freedom of speech is pretty much you have the freedom to speak unless it becomes dangerous, unless it poses a danger or a threat to someone. If you're walking down the street or if you're in, let's paint a picture. If you're Washington, D.C., and you're in front of the White House and you say, I'm here to kill Donald Trump, you know what's going to happen. You already know. So you don't have the freedom to speak that in regards to the radio. You don't have the right to get on the radio and basically psychologically screw kids into basically killing each other. I mean, the statistics show it. The quantitative, they pretty much prove that there's a direct connection between the music or the entertainment that's targeted at children and the manifested behaviors. So if it's proven to be dangerous, then that freedom of speech has limitations. And there's all types of circumstantial proof. I mean, why are we the only race that's subject to being called these things and being having all these images or whatever targeted us on the radio and in major media? Why are we the only ones? And we know the history of that. You don't have white people throwing the hunky word, excuse me, at each other on the radio. It's not even used. Even on a bigger stage, Jews are not calling each other Jaimes and Kikes on the radio. It's not allowed. And any artists have tried to use it. Jay-Z tried to use it. I want to say it was two other artists at least. I know Michael Jackson tried to use it on a record, and they took it off immediately. But nigga is allowed gratuitously throughout what is so-called black music, and it's not our music. It's their music. It's their interpretation of us. It has nothing to do with black culture, but it's allowed to be targeted towards us. So freedom of speech definitely has its limitations. What I found in dealing with people in general, our kids, their minds are still porous. They're still more receptive because they have the energy and they have a larger capacity to learn. Adults, a lot of us have been so socialized and so trained to basically accept certain images of us and to see them as entertainment that we don't have the capacity to change the way we think. That's a lot of adults. That's probably, I would say, more than half adults that we deal with. The kids, they get it. The kids, they care. The kids are dealing with their friends being killed every day. The adults, you know, if they're living in their bubbles, whatever, they're going to work, they're driving nice cars, they have a nice domicile to go home to. They pretend like they care, a lot of them, but at the end of the day, if it's not their kids and their kids are going to school or able to go to school and come home, they don't really care. And so if you go to a party, I'm 47 years old. I can go to a party. I don't really club too tough no more. But if I fall into a bar, if I happen to go to a private party, if I go home to Chicago and I attend a party where a lot of my friends are going to be at, you hear the same music. And if I go up and down my social media, I see women that embrace trap music. I see men that embrace it too. So it's kind of like, how are we protecting the kids when we're basically allowing it ourselves?
Now, Mr. Creamer,
so we're basically embracing it.
While we do have young people of all ages that do tune in, our primary demographic is from, well, maybe those who are in their 30s may know what trap music is, but 40 on up, they may not know what trap music is. What is trap music?
Trap music is the majority of the music. I call it music loosely, but the majority of the music is being played on the radio right now. It originated in Chicago. I want to say it started off with beefs, you know, different crew beefs, whatever, because I don't even call them gangs anymore. Different renegade factions in Chicago. And it started with them rapping on YouTube, going at each other, talking about killing each other. Chief Keef, I don't know if you're familiar with that guy, but was one of the first trap artists. And so what these A&R people, these industries did was they pretty much went, they started, well, that's what they do now. They go through YouTube now, and they find the hottest trap artist who's on the radio speaking all of this ignorant stuff, and they sign them. Yeah. They give them a contract, whatever the manifestations are of their music, they don't care. They sell so many, they give that kid a check, and he's on his way. Next trap artist comes up. But when I say trap, I basically mean the artists that are legitimizing and promoting all of these beasts, the sort of music that gratuitously speaks of black men killing each other, okay. Disrespecting women, that sort of thing.
Now, I have a question from the chat room. You can submit questions mm-hmm. for our guests by going to uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. That's uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Or you can give us a call toll free at 866-510-9025. Hit ** on your keypad. You'll get instructions when you call in. Otis asks, why aren't black elected officials speaking on what he's saying?
I've never expected a politician to sign on or get on board with what we're doing, because we can't even get the pastors and the churches to do it. And at the end of the day, and this is my vantage, I'm just going to speak from my vantage, the politicians, they have skin in the game. So if you got a clear channel, a large media conglomerate, and you're a politician and you're running for election, who are you promoting through? You know, where are your commercials going through? You're using the media. So I wouldn't expect a politician, put it like this, I guess I'll say 100% politician to actually stand up against the media. The only one that I remember doing it, and she got trashed through the media, was, and I hate forgetting her name because I'm using her in my presentation.
Where is she from?
What is it?
Where is she from?
From the way back in the day that talked about Tupac. She died, I want to say, probably about 2 decades ago. The one that Tupac and the rest of them trashed in their albums. Why can I not think of her name right now? But she was a politician. She was a black woman politician. Can't think of her name right now. It'll come to me before we get off the phone. But either way,
Rosa Clemente comes to mind.
Not Rosa Clemente. Hold on. I'll come up with what we're talking. But well, either way, I don't expect politicians to do anything.
Yeah, well, in conversations with Quabana, and maybe mm-hmm. you're not aware, but they have had some success on the local level with mm-hmm. getting a couple of city councils to issue some resolutions of calling out killer mm-hmm. radio. Are you aware of those, Mr. Creamer?
Yeah, that's at the local level, like small, you know, council, whatever. I expect the resolutions, yeah. And I actually sent one to a brother, Greg Mitchell, that I know in Chicago, who's on the council in Chicago, and I haven't heard anything back. So if you think about it, all the cities in the United States, we probably have 5 or less resolutions that have been presented. And for the most part, they're in smaller communities and smaller markets. But I think they can be successful, more successful at the local level, definitely than a larger level.
Right. But there's nothing. I would also say to that, there's not enough of us writing these elected officials because they respond to public pressure. Mm-hmm. So if the pastors and was telling their entire congregation to write their U.S. representatives and senators and tell them to start enforcing the FCC guidelines on obscene music, they would start talking about it because they would see it then as a voting issue. So I will have to say this has yet to become a voting issue on the lines of like abortion or anti-war activism or economic issue. We had to make it a voting issue, in my opinion, Mr. Creamer.
I agree. It needs to get to the point where it's a voting issue and people can be removed from office for not addressing it. But there's a, we can talk about the schools. I can't think of too many issues that have been addressed through a politician locally or on a larger level that they've actually, once they got in office, they've actually followed up on it and done anything effective that actually, brought about some significant change. Because the same issues we had in the 60s, we're still having in 2017. And we've gone through a litany of politicians and a litany of resolutions and a litany of policies, a litany of letters, a litany of phone calls, and the exact same issue that we itemized and went through every single issue from the 60s is still going on in 2017.
We have another question.
It's time to get angry.
We have another question. Max says, how is this music and lyrics connected to incarceration rates, and is it a purposefully used tool to fill up prisons?
It's definitely a tool that's used to fill up prisons. I mean, if you're told, if you have a baby, an impressionable kid, and I'll start 3 to 5 developmental years, and you're telling that kid that he's going to be a doctor, or he's going to be a lawyer, or he's going to be an entrepreneur, a business owner, a chef, whatever, and you're telling that kid he's going to be that, that kid is going to be that. That kid is socially programmed, his family is programmed to be that, so that kid knows nothing but that. But if you're impoverished, you're in self-standard schooling, you're dealing with depression, disconnection, disenfranchisement, you're dealing with peers who are going through the exact same thing, you have family destabilization, and you have headphones on every day, whatever your iPod is playing or your earbuds, whatever buds you have in your ear, and they're telling you every single day, kill, 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 especially kill people that look like you, psychologically you will be affected. And the behaviors are going to manifest with what we're seeing. We don't have any black babies that are born and decide they want to kill other black boys or black girls that want to kill other black girls. And today we find that the black girls are actually going to jail at a higher rate than the black males.
Yes, they are.
I see this in the schools. The little girls will kick it off quicker than the boys will.
Yes.
We have little girls being hauled off to jail by police. We saw the video not too long ago of the school resource officer that body slammed the young lady on the floor.
In South Carolina, yes.
In South Carolina. So I see the behaviors. And these kids are barely graduating. Most of the kids that I have, they're barely graduated from high school. Either they're able to pass the test and go to college barely and pass the 4 years, or they're left out there pretty much with nothing. They don't, you know, all they know how to do is take this test. They haven't received a real education, but on the other end, you have media that's telling them, well, hustle, do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're impoverished, what are you going to do? You got to eat. You got babies to feed. And our kids are definitely having babies. So what else are you left to do?
Hmm. True. Now,
I mean, that's an unfortunate situation, but that's functional.
Now, we do have to get ready to conclude, and I appreciate the time you've given us today. But I do also want to talk solutions. So can you tell us about this initiative that you are a part of with Clear the Airways Project and the National Black Leadership Alliance? I know they launched the YouTube channel. We have posted the link to the YouTube channel. And if so, can you tell us about that initiative and how the people can help?
Well, first, I'd encourage people to go visit Clear the Airways, you know, hashtag it. There's a site, there's a Facebook page for it, and the same thing with National Black Leadership Alliance. Secondly, just get involved. I mean, it has been done. There is precedent for it, the exact same thing that the sorority girls did. We can do as a whole to basically address what's going on with our kids. We just need to do it. We have to see the importance of it. We have to make the connection from the music to our kids being killed. We can't be okay with our kids being killed. It's not just the kids. Our elders are being killed. Our women are being killed. Everyone is being killed by this in the community. In terms of Clear the Airways, some of our efforts basically include, number one, information. We also have tried to initiate boycotts, which included McDonald's as a major sponsor of radio stations in Chicago and, I believe, in New York and across the country. McDonald's is a major sponsor.
Yes.
So we've tried to initiate boycotts or at least call attention to the fact that the McDonald's pretty much sponsors the music that's on the airways.
And they utilize prison slave labor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably all your Fortune 500. National Leadership, National Black Leadership Alliance is pretty much the same thing. A lot of messaging. Thankful to guys like you, Mr. Reed. We appreciate you that allowing us to get the message out. But definitely trying to, instead of going after the people that are doing it, the radio stations, we're also trying to change the narrative on our end. And that basically includes, you know, pumping up or pubbing up the artists that are actually creating positive images and narratives of us. Give them some light. But we have to change our own culture, and that culture includes we're putting out messaging, whether it's audio, visual, whatever, using the media on our own. We're developing YouTube videos to basically message out positivity. We are not niggas. We are Africans, you know, that sort of thing. And it's all in the messaging, and it will grow gradually. I mean, it's going to be slow because we're trying to change a paradigm that's basically been adjusted to defeat us over the last, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 decades?
Mm.
So, and trying to change that paradigm, that's not an overnight thing. But as you understand, money is everything in this country. So outside of politics, those organizations, the Divine Nine, they have money, they have the organizations, and they have the, how can I put it, they've got the apparatus to mount those sorts of efforts. So basically, just it's really just trying to get people in the mindset to attack it. And it's not, I want to say this too. And this is, these are conversations that I have with my peers too. I'm not so, I believe in holding these artists accountable. You know, the 18, 19, 25-year-old artists, they have to be held accountable. What they're doing is not acceptable. We have to get to them, and we have to message to them that it's not. But I'm also a realist too. And when I was 18, 19, 25, I wasn't thinking anywhere like I'm thinking right now.
Right.
And so if I had a YouTube video and I was spitting all types of ignorance and somebody presented me with a check for $250,000, I don't have to tell you what I'm going to do. And so most of my energy, and I believe most of our energy, is going towards the radio stations because they know what they're doing. And my I do workshops and I do presentations to try to inform the community, bookstores, high schools. I present them for free. And I draw that connection between the media and the jails that that listener just brought up the question about. Because there is a direct connection. If you look at the radio stations, Clear Channel, Black Rock, all of these organizations, there are major lobbying groups in the White House that basically work towards passing crimes that penalize African-Americans and Mexicans more than other groups, poor people more than other groups, to basically march them into jail. Privatized prisons are springing up all over the place where people are making money from putting people in jail and having incentive to put people in jail. With that being said, if you look at some of the investment portfolios, you have the exact same companies that are playing this music, the Clear Channels. What is it? Not iTunes, but
iHeart Radio.
Clear Channels and
iHeart.
iHeart. Thank you, sir. Clear Channel and iHeart. They profit from placing people in jail too. While they're playing the music, if you look at their investment portfolio, the people that own them, they also own these private prisons too. There's a direct link. You have like 5 or 6 major media conglomerates to basically decide what gets played. And these same 5 or 6 media conglomerates also own private prisons. They also have access to Congress. So it's right there for us. And when you present this to the kids, they get it. When you present it to adults in a small, intimate setting, they get it. So it's really just about information. This forum here is important. I couldn't wait to get on the radio with you, and I'm sure Kwabena couldn't either, but you along with others that are doing it, the Diallos, I got a friend down here in Fort Worth, they have a media station as well, but we have to basically grasp hold of our own media. We got to put out our own messages, our own narratives. That's pretty much where it is right now.
Well,
but we can't allow to continue to let these iHearts do what they're doing either, though.
Right, right. So, thank you again, Mr. Creamer. I appreciate the work of Clear the Airways Project and the National Black Leadership Alliance, and always know that our door is open to you and your comrades as we try to collaborate in doing what we can do where our talents and resources lie in order to, as you mentioned earlier on Facebook, you know, act like a village. And not just be concerned about the children in my household, my grandsons, but those outside of my households. And, you know, these are radio stations that are supposed to be a part of the community, but they're not acting like it and they're targeting. So anything I can do to help. Thank you again, sir, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. You also.
Hello, this is Scotty Reed, and thank you for listening to this podcast and sharing it with others. Please consider making a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit media organization, Black Talk Media Project, in support of its efforts to elevate independent black voices. You can also support the work by joining the network's social media community, BTR Community, for just $24 a year. Black Talk Media Project is leading the way in the production of grassroots black media.